Juliet Dogcast Radio. If you like dogs, wherever you are in the world, we're the show for you. Hello and welcome to episode 300. Yes, 300 of Dogcast Radio. And for a special number, we have a special guest, Graham Sims. Graham has been a guest many times and is always an honest, insightful, authentic, funny interview. I first interviewed Graham in 2006 in episode 29, and you can listen to that for yourselves. I do recommend you do. We watched one of his displays with his team of sheepdogs, each of which he worked in a different language, and we went to his house and did the interview, and he was just one of those amazing people who draw you in, refill your faith in human nature, warm you, challenge you, make you laugh, but you know you've been close to someone amazing. And you can come close to that amazingness in episode 62, where Graham talks about how to train your dog in their own language. In episode 84, Graham talks about what a rescue dog actually is and the things dogs might need rescuing from. In episode 174, Graham talks about how not all dogs are equal and how we mustn't think of a dog in a one-size-fits-all way, but rather understand each dog's individual character and preferences. Graham had a career in advertising. Then he became a shepherd and a showman and a vicar and an author. But what I love is that he's remained very down to earth and very real. He knows who he is. And when I talk to him, I feel like he knows who I am too. Of course, part of his presence is all the life experiences that have brought him to this point. And in this interview, he talks about what inspired his latest book, The Answer Is Under Your Nose, and reflects on his long and varied life. But enough of my waffling. You haven't come here for me. You're here for Graham. So I'll just say that Graham gave me the best single piece of advice about dogs ever. But you'll have to listen to find out what it is. Hello, it's Julie here from Dogcast Radio, and today I'm joined by Graham Sims. Hi, Graham.
Hello.
Hi, lovely to have you here. You've been here many times, and we've actually met in person, and we've done interviews in person. It was wonderful, so we go back a long time. It's lovely to have you.
Good. Yes, I was looking forward to it. But then I had mental confusion, so I went to bed.
Do you know, it's difficult for me to find a day when I don't have mental confusion, so that's fine.
Oh, so we're on par.
Yeah. Oh, well, we're having fun. Whether anybody else does, whatever. I was thinking, I drove very close yesterday. I was going to pick my daughter up in Birmingham, and I drove very close to where we first met, because we saw you at a show in, I think it was Sandwell Valley, somewhere around there.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. And I just remember being amazed and going, oh, my goodness, because you were doing a display with your dogs, with your border collies, and I think you had eight at the same time, and you spoke to them in a different language, and it was just like, phew, brain, just mind blown. It was just, wow, I have to talk to this man.
A cleverer man then than now.
Well, isn't that true of us all? But you know, I'm not sure. I think you're still a very clever, interesting, and articulate man. But we'll get to that. I'll sneak a few questions in. But I mean, just to tell the listener that you have worked with dogs for and lived with dogs for a long, long time. You gave me the best. I don't play favourites, but you gave me the best advice anyone's ever given me. Because I said, "What advice would you give?" And you said, "Just love your dog so much they can't resist you." Brilliant. Perfect.
Oh, that's good. Dogs are genuine.
Yeah.
They recognise real love. It's the magic button. Turns them on. They say, he loves me. I love him.
Yeah.
Funnily enough, my border collie loves my wife more than me.
Wow.
That's fine, because they choose.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's it. You can't... You can take a dog to water, but you can't make him drink.
Exactly.
Oh, dear. But there you go. So it goes back a long way. We do have a lot of interviews with you. I mean, just the right amount, not too many, but a lot of interviews. And I do recommend that if people haven't listened to them, they go back and listen to the interviews. Oh, we'll put the links in the show notes and all over our socials. But your story is fascinating because you were at a very low ebb and you'd lost your job in the advertising world. And then you came across the wonderful Annie, the sheepdog, the border collie. And then your life took a completely different turn, and sort of you worked as a shepherd and you worked doing displays with your dogs and just had and wrote books, and you've been sort of you're big in Italy, aren't you? So it's just been an amazing journey, as they say nowadays. So it's amazing. Now, more recently, you've had health issues, which has led to obviously a lot of angst and problems and life experience, lived experience again. And your dogs have been by your side through that and another book. So tell me, I mean, and we're delving into very personal areas here. I understand that. And it's very brave of you to come on and talk about this. But so tell me about your journey with cancer.
Well, I went to the doctor.
Okay, yeah.
And he said, put a little torch up my nose. His body language started speaking much earlier than his voice, and I'm good on body language.
So yeah.
And he nodded to himself like this, affirmation.
Yeah.
And he said, it's cancer. We'll send you to a specialist, worst thing he could have said.
Yeah.
And he'll tell you more expertly. I went to loads of specialists. One said, it's only a tent. I felt like saying it's the only effing tent I've got.
Yeah.
It's where everybody looks. And it was taken off skillfully. And then a big pig's nose, like a pig's nose, clumsy this wide, was stuck on. But they didn't tell me. It was sewn onto my face. But they didn't tell me what this was. I thought it was the end result.
Yeah.
The idea was it would pull the face together.
Right, right.
But the new nose, this one, would fit perfectly. Let me just show you something. One's a summer nose, one's a winter nose.
Brilliant. It's so clever. I hadn't even thought of that, that your face changes colour during the year, doesn't it? Wow.
Yeah, oh, it's good.
Yeah.
I've got glasses to hide it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I let my eyebrows grow to be a distraction. And
very
I chose
good.
The glasses because, not because they made me see better, but because they hid everything.
Yeah, yeah, they hide the joint. It's very people, good.
People look at you in natural daylight, close up, and you can see they can say, oh, he's got a false nose on. But they don't notice that you've noticed what they're thinking.
Yeah, yeah.
That happens a lot.
Yeah.
So when I used to go walking with the dogs, I would meet nice people.
Yes, yeah.
Who looked at it, obviously, and would say sometimes, oh, what happened to your nose?
Yeah.
I found them very refreshing. Little children, little boys said to me, what happened to your nose, mister?
Oh.
And I said, they chopped it off. Did you want to see underneath? And he said, yes, please.
Oh.
All his friends came. I took it off and I went, oh. Dear, I put it back on. Said, but that's good. So they were fine.
Yeah, yeah. You find that, don't you? If people just be open and say, oh, and ask the question, and then you can address it, whatever it is, that's fine. Because there's no nastiness in it. It's just like, oh, what's happened then? Explain to me. I'm curious what's, you know. And then you say that kind of, oh, that's, because, I mean, that's a hell of a thing to go through. We've gone through that very quickly talking about it, but that must have been such a difficult thing to live with, because you breathe through your nose several times a minute, don't you? It's just, that's incredible.
Yes, there are lots of little problems, like you dribble.
Yeah.
So you've always got to have one of these. And you mustn't go out in the sun for too long, or this will change colour, but that won't.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't sneeze. You sneeze through your mouth. Achoo!
Yeah.
Which is good. Otherwise, it would blow your nose off. That would be quite spectacular. And you can't swallow.
Yeah.
That's a real problem. The book is donating with each copy some money to Swallows. And it's called Swallows because this apparently is a common problem.
Yeah.
To swallow things is very difficult. You are... sort of, it's all like, will I live long enough to outperform this choke? Oh, yes, thank goodness. Maybe next time it'll get me. Is that kind of
yeah.
So you eat very soft things.
Yeah.
So it changes everything.
Yeah.
It's
life-changing, isn't it? It's life-changing.
Yeah.
So facing this life-changing, you know, event and the change to your quality of life and that constant, you know, it's 24/7. You can't, I often think if you could just go, look, just give me an hour without whatever it is, just give me 1 hour free and then I'll come back to it. That would help, but you're just stuck in that situation 24/7. That's it. So, but you had your dogs with you. So how did your dogs help you?
Oh, I think he said I was a boxer when I was young.
Yeah.
And I won 100 fights. I was quite good.
Yeah.
And I said to my dad, I'm going to turn professional. And he said, fight 4 good ones. Then I will back you if you win.
Yeah.
I got knocked out 4 times. But I don't think, so I was obviously not class, I don't think boxing calls it. I think frightened Springer Spaniel caused it, because that was more recent. The boxing's too long ago for that to have an effect.
Yeah.
It was but just a couple of years before, a little rescued Springer Spaniel that I had, I crept up to her at bedtime and said, good night, darling. She went smack, and I really felt that. I think that was probably it.
Yeah, gosh.
But they said, oh, it's boxing. And I said, I think I was too fast to be hit there. And they said, no, you weren't as fast as you thought. Your nose was broken 3 times. So it's a mystery.
Wow. It's a mystery. Yeah. God.
I didn't feel my nose being broken. I don't remember. Yeah. I remember it being swollen. And then one day in Italy, doing a seminar, it began to collapse on itself. And it got worse.
Yeah.
And the specialist took it off nicely.
Yeah.
Very well indeed. And they made this thing.
One of the things I always think with dogs is that it doesn't matter what you look like. You know, you can have a big spot on your chin, or, you know, whatever, your hair's greasy, or you've had your nose cut off, you know, surgically removed. But the dog never goes, ooh, what's the matter with you? You know, the dog just loves you and he's just there. That's like balm for the soul sometimes, isn't it?
I had a dog at the time, a Springer Spaniel rescued.
Yeah.
Somebody said, do you know somebody that wants a Springer Spaniel? And this poor dog was being hounded by a more powerful Springer Spaniel. So I said, yes, not to give him away. And I could see what he wanted. He wanted to fetch things.
Mm.
So I got dummies and I worked hard on giving him what he wanted.
Yeah.
And when I went to the hospital, I couldn't take my dog with me. When I came back, he knew. He knew. And he gave me so much.
Mm.
It almost breaks my heart to think about it.
Yeah.
And then he got senile and he would go round and round and round in circles.
Mm.
And got 2 other dogs. One is an Italian sheep guarding dog who is not everybody's friend. And she looked after him.
Oh.
She looked after him. When he went round and round in circles, she would get in his way, kiss his nose, and he would calm down.
Oh, beautiful.
And she doesn't have friends.
Yeah.
But he was her best friend.
Mm.
And
yeah.
She was so kind. It was unbelievable. I fell in love with her then.
Yeah.
I thought, you're so kind, you're beautiful. And an Italian friend who was a dog trainer gave me a border collie to help me to get better.
Yeah, yeah.
He said, have you got a border collie now? And I said, no, I haven't. He said, come down with me. And he bred dogs.
Yeah.
And he said, in way of an apology, it's not a pedigree. It's if I care.
Yeah, yeah.
None of my dogs were pedigrees. They were border collies.
Yeah.
I can hear a dog barking out there now.
Yeah.
So they were deeply significant. This, and then Wag, the Springer Spaniel, I don't know, I think I made a mistake. I took him to the vets because he was suffering too much and had him put down. Mm. I think that was the biggest mistake of my life. Would I like to be put down?
I That is, that, this is a huge question. We were straying here, but that's such a personal question. I think the truth is that would vary from day to day. And so I shy away from that because I always think I am a pessimist, but I'm like an optimistic pessimist. So I always think, well, today's a bit poo, but tomorrow might be better. So I'll hang around and see what tomorrow is. So I don't know. And I, again, having your dog put down is a really, really personal thing. A lot of people say, well, I kind of go, I'm going to wait until I know it's the right time. A lot of people have said to me, if you know it's the right time, you've done the wrong thing. I don't know. I know it's whenever you do it, it is heartbreaking, and the guilt attached to it is just gut-wrenching, and it's brutal. It's brutal.
Well, the day after, I thought, this is the worst thing I've done in my life.
Yeah.
And there was a massive hole in my life from that moment onwards. And I suspect that's why the Border Collie chose somebody else to love best.
Oh.
But the Italian sheepguarding dog who doesn't love anybody is in love with me.
Oh, lovely, lovely. They can share life.
Yeah. We share something. And we don't need words.
Yeah.
Words are just totally unnecessary. We share something. When I go up to bed, she sleeps downstairs in the hall because she's a cute guarding dog. She's going to go up there.
Mm-hmm.
And I touch her on her paw, and she puts her paw out.
Oh.
She's touching me.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
She loves me.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Because we both remember this wonderful dog. Wag would wait for me when I got back from the hospital and make a huge fuss of me.
Yeah.
But gently.
Yeah.
And he understood precisely. I'd have more faith in him taking my nose off than them taking my nose off. And the people in the prosthetics department were like the dog. It was empathy. It was kindness. It was consideration. And the funny thing was, they all had dogs.
Yeah, yeah.
So the dog teaches us what real life
absolutely. Absolutely.
We don't know. The real heroes of this, in my mind, are the prosthetic people.
Yeah.
Who not only give you care, but love, sympathy, empathy, understanding. They were the ones who really came across. And I noticed that in the National Health Service, a nurse is much more capable of help than some of these high-flying specialists.
Yeah, they're clever. They have the head, but they don't always have the heart. They don't always have the empathy and the thought of what impact will my words have on this person? You know, it's not just, I'm not just a condition, I'm a person. And the things you say, you know, this is me thinking to the doctor, the things you say are going to stay with me. And when I wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning, I'll be thinking about what you said to me and what impact it might have on my life.
Well, what gets me is, training for a vicar takes the same time as training to be a specialist.
Wow.
But you don't fundamentally accept all you're told. You have your own guidelines.
Yeah.
So to be kind, rather than an expert on theology, is more important than all the knowledge in the world. And it isn't knowledge. It's guesswork.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, thinking about knowledge and experience and guesswork, how did the book come about? Let's say, first of all, the new book, The Answer Is Under Your Nose, great title. But how did that come about then?
It was an absolute conviction.
Yeah.
2019 took 3 years to write. Because I had to look into everything that I was questioning, and nobody had any answers. So I had a wonderful clarity of mind, and I managed to arrive at answers that pleased me, and I'm highly critical. So, but it will either alienate people or just say, and I don't know yet. I don't really care.
Yeah.
I said what I wanted to say.
Yeah.
And the delivery was delayed and delayed and delayed, not by somebody else, but by me.
Yeah.
Because I kept going back over it,
yeah,
revising, editing it, and trying to make it more reasonable. But you can't.
No.
That's what you think.
Yeah.
You don't pull punches.
Yeah, that's your truth, Graham. That's your truth, and you know, and you've got the right to tell it. And then, as you say, people have got the right to react to it. But that will be very interesting to see what people make of it. And then I imagine it's very honest and raw, and I guess, you know, confronting. There's a lot of things in there that you know will be upsetting, obviously.
Well, to give you an idea, at the end of the book, I needed philosophy. I wasn't clever enough to write one myself. So I looked at all the philosophies, Christian Church, Catholic Church, Mohammed, Buddha, everything, and I found one, just one, that I agreed with every single word.
Mm.
And that Native American chief called Seattle.
Yeah.
And that's why Seattle is called Seattle, Seattle, Seattle. And the President of the United States wrote to him and said, I want to buy your land. And he wrote back, it was like a poem. He said, how do I sell a twinkle in the lake?
Yeah.
How do I sell the blue skies? You can't buy land.
Yeah.
Land is more than land. He said, my people's ghosts are still here. My grandfather ran from that river, you know, and all this rest of it. And it was like a loving poetry.
Yeah.
And I've been to Seattle. For a reason, I think, because there were hundreds of Native American Indians who were suffering from alcohol, drug abuse, and they all went to a certain place and they were totally discarded as humans. Now, these were the people that owned America.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the most insensitive. I wrote to them this morning.
Yeah.
And said, I've just written this book, we'll see what they say. They were a noble people.
Yeah.
It just reminded me that during certain occasions in my life, in World War II, I was a little boy.
Yeah.
Bombs fell every day. Every day.
Mm.
I remember our house disintegrating.
Oh.
It was a good period because all the people were suffering the same thing.
Yeah. Together, yeah.
In the deserts of Jordan, hardly the most sociable place to be, believe you me, at equal distance from the Israelis and the Arabs, who hated each other just as much as they do today, Gaza comes to mind.
Yeah.
We were there to stop troubles. And they sent, this is quite clever, the most violent people to this place. It was called a punishment posting.
Mm.
And my career in the army was hardly spectacular. My mother fell down the stairs. My dad foolishly wrote to me and told me. And I went to the army. I said, can I go home? And they said, no.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, I'm going home. So I ran to, in my army tracksuit, doing all this boxing stuff, to the front gates. They all waved me through because that was not unusual. And then I hitchhiked back, and the next morning the police came, the civil police,
yeah,
and arrested me because I was absent without leave.
Yeah, yeah.
Then I went to the military police, who made me stand in a corner upright, saluting every 1 minute for a whole day. Yeah. Then I was taken back to a guard room at my camp, and I managed to do more harm to the police than they had done to me. So every day they set people on me who were bigger, but they weren't good enough.
Yeah.
And I turned into a violent monster. So I got sent to, I was told I was going to Paris. And as we went over Paris, I said to the person next to me, I thought this was going to Paris. He said, no, it was going to Cyprus first, then Jordan.
Wow.
Oh, this is mysterious. When I got to Jordan, the sergeant major got my records out, looked at them. He said, I hope you're going to be a good boy here. And I was so shocked. I said, yeah, yes, I will.
Oh.
And we suffered the same thing there, this fear of war and all the rest of it. And that was a good time. Yeah. Even though it was in the middle of a hot, hostile desert where you die if you don't drink, it was friendly.
Yeah.
Because we all suffered the same thing.
Yeah.
So we were together. After that, I noticed society fell apart rather. People became actors.
Mm.
In the street, they say, "How are you, darling?" And they don't give a damn.
Mm. Don't listen to the answer, yeah.
And there are others who, we've got a lovely pair of neighbours next to us. They're both in their 80s, Betty and Bob. And I will remember their names because they're so nice. Every day they look over the fence and say, "Would you like some tomatoes, darling?" And chat, 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 chat. And it's just, you're relaxed, you're at ease. They're proper people.
Yeah, yeah.
There are some like that. I'm not saying there aren't, but they're rare. And
yeah.
It's very hard to see which ones they really are.
Yeah.
People present the person they would like you to see.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is about all the nice people. There was once we had a toilet on the side of the mountain, which was a vast hole. The Arabs would call it the Sea of Faces, and it was dark. No porcelain thrones, wooden planks.
Yeah.
One day I sat down with this man who I fancy had been really badly treated. He was not sure what his race was, but he'd been badly treated.
Mm.
And he said, "I heard a cat." We all listened.
Mm.
We heard a cat down there. So we got a big rope and we took the top of the toilet off and we lowered him down and the rope broke.
Oh, no.
And the faces were up to here.
Mm, yeah.
So we threw another rope down. Can you imagine the mess we're all in?
Yeah.
And the mess he's in. And all the cats had got on top of his head, the kittens.
Oh.
So we pulled him up very gently, lifted him out of the hole. We spent another hour washing the kittens and him and us. And so it was this, I had to say it. I picked this publisher because I'd noticed what mistakes the others had made.
Mm.
Even though they're highly praised, I would say the standards in publishing are from good to ridiculous. The Italians didn't call it The Dog Whisperer, that book. They called it The Man Who Whispers to the Dogs.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there had been a dog whisperer.
Yeah.
Which meant you couldn't sell the book in America.
Yeah.
You wouldn't sell it here either because people would say, "Oh, I didn't think much of him."
Mm.
He wasn't a dog whisperer, he was a dog shell.
No. But for a while, everybody wanted to be referred to, well, many people wanted to be referred to as a dog whisperer until it became clear that the main person was maybe not the best dog trainer in the world.
Well, I couldn't understand it. I was looking at the Italian website of Sperling and Kupfer, and it said 2 runaway bestsellers. And I thought, oh, I'd love those to be mine. And they both were.
Wow.
And then when I look more closely, they have 2 titles, super bestseller, which means selling between 1 million copies and 10 million. I'm not sure why it's so loose.
Yeah.
And bestseller, which is selling for less, but still a bestseller. And the Italian publishers are wonderful to work with. They talk to you every day. I met them once a week. I stayed in their houses. They really identified with it. And I found them to be vastly superior.
Mm, yeah.
That's clever. It doesn't sound it. The Man Who Whispers to the Dogs. Not the dogs. I like that.
Yeah.
And they stuck a big sign on the front saying, super bestseller. And that's the first time I realised that maybe I could write.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't think so before. I thought, well, it's a book. It's gone. It's a book. But when I saw that, I'm still surprised when I see it. I still question it every day and say, yeah, but who is that? I mean, it doesn't mean anything because it says, Una meraviglia, so Vita da Cane, The Marvelous Life of the Dog. Or Tammy can't play, take me with you.
Yeah.
The English version was Give a Dog a Home.
Yes, yeah. That's on my bookshelves now.
Thank you. No, but it came as a surprise. What I'm saying is my website, I titled Graham Sims Art.
Yes.
Because I considered I was more of a painter than a writer.
Mm.
Against my source of wisdom, best judgment, et cetera, et cetera. I know best because I'm him. It wasn't.
Mm.
The words were more significant than the paint splashes.
You're listening to Dogcast Radio on www.dogcastradio.com.
In my early life, I was a creative director. And that means you're godlike.
Mm.
I'll have this picture, those words. Yes, these words, that picture. Yes, you do this, you do that, go and do this. And then one day they said, we're sending your sister company's directors to Sardinia and we've taken the money out of your account.
Wow.
I think this was an excuse. They wanted to get rid of me. Perhaps I was getting too, I don't know, significant in things. So I went. I said, stuff it up, y'all. Mm-hmm. Don't want you anymore. And I went. When I got home, this is significant, I saw a black and white dog on the road.
Yeah, yeah.
It was delivered at exactly the right moment. I was going to go to the pub and get legless and hopefully find a way out. And I remember going to the vets the next day when I checked her off, and I said, what sort of dog is this? And this seems unbelievable now. And he said, it's a border collie.
Yeah.
And I said, what do border collies do? He said, they herd sheep. I said, are they clever? He said, oh, yeah, 60% more than any other. So Annie became, I was down, she was down. We fed each other.
Yeah.
And I remember when I went to Devon to, I was cheating at first. I used to herd the sheep without telling anybody. This farmer came to my door and said, does your dog herd sheep? And I said, yes. I didn't know if that was the truthful answer. And Annie put the sheep back in the field in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, would you help me on the farm? And I said, yeah. And that's where it all started.
Yeah.
Now, they're not accidents.
No. Your story is amazing. It just, things happened to you when you really needed them to, didn't they?
Well, a Bedouin I wanted to go in the desert to see where the Lawrence of Arabia Memorial was.
Yeah.
It's in Saudi Arabia. And nobody wanted to come with me. Nobody was interested. So I took a bottle of water and I went myself. And I knew where it was. Don't ask me how. And I knew what it would look like. And I went up across the mountains, another range. And I knew it was down there. I didn't, there's no sign saying this is Saudi Arabia. It's just, and there it was. And it was signed by lots of British soldiers, written nice things in there.
Yeah.
And then I went back and they said, did you find it? And I said, no. So I knew they weren't interested.
Yeah.
It was a mysterious place. And this Bedouin, on the way back, said, would you like some tea? It's just a Bedouin on his own in the middle of nowhere. So I sat down and we drank this tea. He spoke some English, I spoke some Arabic. And he said, did it with more like sign language. He said, for you, the mountains, or the deep valleys. Then he finished his tea. He said, bye-bye. And I went. And I thought about that a lot. Yes, we all have mountains and deep valleys. But he was saying to me, yours will be extreme.
Yeah, yeah.
No, that's very good. I thank him. But he did well. But he was genuine. He wasn't on a public stage. He was on a little fire in the middle of a desert.
Yeah.
Nobody else within miles.
Yeah.
I was going to say hundreds of miles, but it couldn't have been because I walked it. And it took a day, I think. So what do you walk in a day? 20 miles?
Yeah, yeah, I suppose. Well, I don't think I could do that, but you at your prime probably could.
Oh. I don't know. But anyway, it was...
You certainly have. You've had ups and downs, and thank goodness your dogs have been there for you.
Writing this book was a compulsion.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't about publishing. It was about saying, before I went, what I really thought. Otherwise, I spent a life that wasn't useful.
Oh.
So I wanted to say something that people could read, consider, and make their own opinions of. And I'm asked questions like, is there a heaven? Is there... I was going to say, is there a God? My younger brother put it much better. He said, a creator.
Yes, yeah.
Man's been on the earth 10 million years. Just one more thing. The broom plant has seed pods designed like the front bonnet of a car.
Yeah.
So that on impact, it will collapse. And when it gets humid in July, these things explode because they've got thin metal and thick fabric. They explode and they throw their seeds beyond the growing area of the other broom plants.
Oh,
now,
wow.
Unarguably, that is more intelligent than the broom plant is capable of delivering.
Yeah.
So who put it there?
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes the more you learn about science, the more you go, oh, my goodness, this didn't happen by accident.
Vickers, Vickers worry me because they often get fundamentalist. They're taught not to question. Well, if you don't question, you don't get answers.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I wanted to say, and I didn't come to a conclusion. I believe personally, it's a personal belief, there is.
Yeah, yeah.
But it doesn't mean you've got to believe it.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
I think as well, one of the things is like when you cry, I am a crier, I cry. But it's interesting, when you do cry, some people are sort of like, oh, I can't, right, okay, you're crying, I'll just leave you on your own. And they sort of walk away. And there's others of us that are sort of like, I say, would you like a hug? I don't just go in and hug, but I do say, would you like a hug? And often people say, yes, please, and they get a hug. But the dogs, generally will go, oh my goodness, and our dogs certainly sort of put their head in your lap and they're like, what's the matter, and they're drawn to you, they want to make you feel better.
I think to have had a life without dogs would have been virtually valueless. For me, I don't know about
them. Everybody's different, but
because they give you this unconditional love. It isn't bribery. They're not after something. It's love. And it's real. And you don't question it. It's absolutely real. So I think I wanted to write this down. And I've included a big bit about finding Annie.
Yeah.
And a big bit about Wag. I went back to, Wag was a pedigree, and I learned later he was a champion gun dog. He was a very good gun.
Yeah.
When I went back to these people's house to get his pedigree papers, Wag was so unhappy it wasn't true because he thought I was taking him back.
Yeah, yeah.
When I drove away from the house, still with him in the car, I've never seen anybody so happy in his life. And we identified with each other more than I can say. He'd suffered. I'd suffered. I don't know. He even looked like me. Oh, I look like him.
Yeah.
He had lovely big long ears like this. Right down here.
Oh, gorgeous. Gorgeous. But I do think, and your Italian, the sheep, the livestock dog, or how did you describe the Italian dog that loves you now?
Oh, it's a guarding dog.
Guarding dog,
lives up in the mountains. not with other dogs around.
Yeah.
And, well, to give you an example, we put Lola, that's her name, Lola. No. We put her on the field with sheep. And the first thing she did was, or the first thing they did, all the sheep ran to her. They all ran to her.
Wow.
And she cuddled them all like that. And then they all went to sleep in a circle around her.
Oh, wow.
So she, and if somebody came up the mountain when she was doing that, she would be outrageous.
Yeah.
Don't you run near my sheep, you know. So she's not the dog. No. They're hard dogs to live with.
Yeah.
If you meet somebody out with a dog, there'll be a problem.
Yeah.
Well, growl, woof, 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 woof.
Yeah.
But Wag, she sensed something she liked.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Yeah.
Any other dog, she would have been diabolical.
Yeah.
But this was the dog she liked. So she was deeply in love with him, and he was deeply in love with her.
Yeah.
And I noticed as he got old and senile, he relied on her more and more and more. And she would, every morning, check on him if he was all right. As soon as he went in a circle, she could hear his nails on the ground. She'd come up, stop him, and she'd cuddle him.
Oh,
and you could see this period of time where she'd wait, just touching his body until he'd calm down, and then she would move away, but she'd still keep an eye on him. And perhaps the most observant dogs, these guardian dogs.
Yeah.
I've ever seen before. I remember meeting one in the field in a mountain, and he was a puppy.
Yeah.
And he sort of said to me almost, I like you. You can come in.
Yeah.
And they got a tremendous understanding. And they look after sheep like Lola was so happy being in this field with the sheep.
Yeah.
We were doing a sheep, of course. So we had border collies working the sheep. And then this aggressive dog was very kind.
Yeah.
He said, I'll look after you.
Yeah.
And the sheep knew who she was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So I always think, though, we perceive it as aggression, but it's kind of, it's defensive. It's love. I love these sheep. And no, you know, they are protected. They are defended. And I prefer to think, I think it does come from that love of, I love these sheep. You will not touch them. It's not that I hate you. I just love these sheep and you will not touch them.
Yes. And it's amazing because we take the babies.
Yeah,
of sheep in a field after saying, oh, aren't they darlings? Aren't they sweet? Now, you imagine that the other way around.
I know. It's horrendous. When you actually think about it, Graham, and that we live in the countryside, and the day that they take the lambs away, the pitiful bleating, it's heartbreaking. I'm sure if people could hear it more, you know, the heartbreak going on in the field when the mums are left without the babies, it's horrible.
We used to put, I'm guilty. I was a shepherd. I used to hide the lambs. There was a big collection of hidden lambs.
Yeah.
And they came with me when I retired, and they retired in.
Good.
They lived till they were 17 years old.
Wow.
And the vet didn't know how to treat them because he'd never seen a sheep that old before.
Yeah, of course.
And I remember one sheep. I could see he was dying. He was a very aggressive sheep with huge horns.
Yeah.
I could see he was dying. So I put him in the trailer and I sat with him all night in the straw. And just before he died, he put his head on my lap.
Oh.
So it was like a message. And when Siathor wrote this philosophy, he loves nature.
Mm.
It was written like a beautiful poem.
Yeah.
I didn't find one sentiment that I disagree with.
Yeah.
And he said something surprising. He didn't like the white man because he just shot buffalo for fun.
Yeah.
He said they just put the rifles out of the train window, shot as many as they possibly could. He said we shot them with regret and sadness, but we needed to eat.
Yeah. To live.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can begin to understand that.
Yeah. Circle of life. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. But the dogs were a religion.
Yeah, yeah.
They're more genuine than we are. I mean, I don't know if they expect to go somewhere afterwards. Ah, and that's another thing.
Yeah.
The Christian faith takes people.
Yeah.
It makes no mention of taking animals.
What about, because I always think of this bit, what about where Jesus says, not a sparrow falls from the, I'm going to get this wrong, you'll correct my quote.
No, I won't.
Well, you feel free to. But when he says something about, not a sparrow falls from the sky without my Father God knowing about it. What about that? Because, I mean, that to me is like, he does love all of creation.
Oh, well, that's the best news I've had. I didn't remember that one.
But there you go.
I'm always frightened of fundamentalists who, I mean, for instance, Seattle said, your God's my God.
Yeah.
In other words, it doesn't matter what you call him.
Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't matter where you are, what colour you are, what you're doing, yeah. It's yours.
Wouldn't it be a blimmin' different world if all of us did that?
Yes. And the dreadful Trump man.
Oh, don't say the T word.
Must have started on that one.
No. That will send our blood pressure up, and that will send everybody listening, watching, will send their blood pressure up, so we won't do that.
I won't go there.
We'll stick to dogs, because some people will drive you mad.
I just say one thing about Trump.
Yeah.
He isn't an arsehole. He isn't an arsehole. He's excretia.
Yes, yeah, yeah. He
not
is.
Intelligent enough to be an arsehole.
He is an appendix, because he's full of something nasty, poo, waste products, and you can do very well without him.
Yes, I fail to understand him.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's causing so much suffering, and is any suffering necessary, but so much unnecessary suffering, and exploiting the wonderful position he's in. And I love America. I love Americans. I love the American dream. I love the American way. I do. But Trump, that's not Trump. I'm sorry for anybody listening that thinks that disagrees with me. Feel free to get in touch. But honestly, that's not the American dream. That's Trump's dream. He's just making money out of being in a wonderful position, what should be a wonderful position.
The only good thing is that they've shown him that they're not as weak as they thought they were.
Mm, yes.
But it doesn't matter what you call God or the creator, call him what you like. He has no barriers. There's a line that you might not want to use. There's a line in the Bible that says, and God gave Israel to the Jews. Political statement. Truth, nil. Content, nil. It was to make their army fight harder and believe that it was theirs. What it suggests is that God has favourites.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
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 I just wondered if there's a reason for us, this endless procession of humans and of dogs.
Yes. Yeah.
I can't believe it's wasted.
No. When you actually start to think about it, when I think about it too much, I really, really feel like I'm sort of falling off a cliff into a big abyss, because it's just, these concepts are too big. I'm like, no. No, it has to be, like you say, someone, something, a creator, a God. It can't be just us spinning around in space endlessly with no reason.
No, you wouldn't. 10 million years is an awfully long time.
Yeah.
I can't believe we take that much time to improve, but looking at the humans, we do take a lot of time. So one day, a peaceful, loving one will come.
Mm.
I don't know, but I don't have the answers.
No. I don't think we do.
Sorry?
I don't think anybody does, and I think it's big-headed to think you do, and that life is just a quest and we're still on it. And I don't think we ever get to never go quest achieved like a video game. We just keep living until we move on.
Yes. I tried to answer them, but I've written, well, I'm not sure, but I don't know. Most of those big questions, we don't know. We don't know at all. Currently, my aim is to live beyond the publishing date. Because I'd like to see the results.
Yeah.
So I say, can I please live to beyond the publishing date?
And then we'll pick a new date. We'll pick a new date. And it's out on the 14th of August, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay.
And I've got a launch here at the library.
Super.
This is a very Welsh place.
Yeah.
Which is the thing that attracted me.
Yeah.
And people in supermarkets, when they're talking about you, talking Welsh.
Yes. Yeah. Been there.
but their eyes look at you.
Yeah.
I love the Welshness. Years ago when I worked for Revlon, the cosmetic company, they sent me to Wales, and that's when I fell in love immediately with this closeness that they've got.
Yeah.
Well, and the remoteness, both, yeah. But more closeness than London.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
London was.
Yeah. Wales is beautiful. Although, you see, having to juxtapose that for any Londoners being offended, Jenny came back from London yesterday and was going, London's so lovely and everybody's so friendly there and everybody's so, you know, inclusive and accepting, and they love London. So, I don't know, maybe we're just too old for London.
Yes, it could be. I mean, I enjoyed my time there. No doubt about it. But, yeah. It did me the world of good to be a humble shepherd that nobody listens to. That was the best lesson of my life. Nobody listens to a shepherd. The only thing they listen to for the shepherd is how many sheep are in one field, two fields, three fields, and what's their state of health. They listen very carefully to that.
Yeah.
Because you know what you're talking about. Yeah. But anything else.
Yeah. Well, but it doesn't matter because you've got the shepherd's dog to listen to you.
Oh, it doesn't matter. I mean, you're spending all day out in the fields with lovely sheep and with your lovely dogs. I mean, hey, can't ask for much more than that, can you?
Absolutely. That was,
my really close friend was the brother of the man whose sheep I put back.
Yeah.
And I ended up working for him. And his name was Cedric.
Yeah.
And I did his funeral.
Yeah.
And I got right up to the end successfully, I'm almost frightened to say it, and then I did the burial prayer.
Yeah.
I like the Gaelic one. May the road rise to meet you, may the sun shine warm upon your face, may gentle rain fall on your fields, and may God hold you in the hollow of his hand.
Yeah.
And I didn't get the last 2 sentences out. I couldn't do it.
No.
And this audience, congregation, waited. They knew I hadn't finished. Oh. And I could see some of them mouthing it to me.
Yeah.
To help me out. And I thought they'd be really annoyed that I hadn't done it properly. They won't.
They won't. Oh, they were holding you in their hands. Oh.
They were.
Yeah.
They were. Nice. Oh. He was a lovely man. He went out to see the bullocks one night and he didn't come back.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. He was really nice, kind.
Yeah. Oh, died amongst those he loved.
No, he gave me a new start. I don't know, he did an awful lot for me.
Yeah.
I did a lot for him.
Yeah.
It was an exchange. There was no money involved.
No. Oh, and those sometimes are the best ones. Yeah.
Good job.
Just before we go, can you tell us where people can find out more about you online, please? What's your website?
My website is www.grahamsimsart.com. But I found the best way to find out who you are is just type in "Who is Graham Sims?"
Okay.
Because it was far more flattering than I would have thought possible. I haven't come to terms with this. I keep thinking, "Oh, this is false. It's not true."
No, it's real. It's real. And I would say, whatever it was, Graham, it wasn't flattering enough. because you're a lovely person and you've got an amazing story and you love your dogs and your dogs love you. And I've learned so much from you and you're a fascinating person to talk to.
Well, because I'm not very well at the moment, I probably haven't spoken too well, but I've tried my best.
You have. And you've succeeded, mate. You've succeeded. It's been wonderful to talk to you again. And
thank you very much. It's been wonderful to talk to you again. You're the best interviewer I have ever worked with.
Mwah.
Oh, honestly.
I'll pay you later.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Oh, no, thank you, Graham. Thanks ever so much.
Oh, amazing. I really hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. Many, many thanks to Graham Sims for that interview, and the best of luck to him for the future personally and professionally. We have the links you need to find out more at dogcastradio.com, and you can go to Graham's website, grahamsimsart.com, GRAEMESIMSART.com. And to find out more about his latest book, The Answer Is Under Your Nose, you can go to his publisher, Austin McCauley's website, and that's austinmcauley.com. That's austinmcauley.com/book/the-answer-is-under-your-nose. And Graham is also on Facebook. We have all those links on the Dogcast Radio site. Right, I am off to see what Mischief and Rocky have been up to, or maybe what Mischief Rocky has been up to. Oh, a 9-month-old Labrador has a lot of energy. Luckily, he has a lot of love to give as well. Until next time, look after yourselves and your dogs. Thanks for listening to Dogcast Radio, available from www.dogcastradio.com. That's dogcastradio.com. If you'd like to get in touch with us, and wherever you are in the world, we'd love to hear from you. You can do so in a variety of ways. You can contact us on Skype with the ident Dogcast Radio. That's all one word, Dogcast Radio. By email, you can contact me on julie@dogcastradio.com. When contacting us by email, if you have the facilities, please record your questions or comments and send them to us as an audio file. That way we can include them directly in our programme. We can accept most formats, for example, WAV, MP3. All these methods of contacting us can be found on our website, which is www.dogcastradio.com. A shepherd gets his talking sheepdog to herd a flock into a pen, then asks how many sheep are there. The dog replies, 40. The shepherd says, I can only count 36. The dog answers, I rounded them up.